Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Clarity. Let there be an anointing here to cause revelation about who you are, what you're doing, and what our response ought to be available today. I trust you in these moments, Lord, to think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Let them be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and you're my our redeemer. And every happy, glad heart say amen. Bring you greetings this morning. I bring you greetings for those watching online. We're going to, as a reference point, I don't know if we'll go there. We'll go to Luke 4 around the 16th verse, and then we'll go, we'll spend a great deal of our time in Isaiah 61, and at some point or another, I will make a reference to 1 John 2 and 21 for those taking notes, which is everybody, since I worked so hard on this. I'm sure you're taking notes, I'm positive. My brother-in-law, Pastor Marvin Winans, was asked to do the honor of the eulogy for Whitney Houston's funeral. In that moment, he had a very famous line that he said to open up the service. He says, "Somebody has lied on Jesus." Somebody lied on Jesus and has made us to believe that what he came to represent and the morality he represented, the godly character, the mission he represented, is somehow less than the reality he gave. In fact, you can do what you want, how you want, where you want, with whoever you want, and Christianity and civil rights seem to become the same thing. I believe we need civil rights, but you can't have a right without right standing with Christ. You need to have him contextualize what that really is or is not. And somehow the world, though living life opposite of the way Christ would live or promote, believes that it's okay, would call itself Christian, but its lifestyle would be inconsistent with Christianity. I'm coming for that lie today. But not for the purposes of making us feel bad, but for the purposes of helping us be more effective at our responsibility. Today I want to talk about Jesus as our anointed Messiah or minister. Because if you get that point, you have a chance at life. Second, once you have Jesus, there should be some clear indicators in your life, the way you live life or how you deliver Jesus' ministry to you, to other people, your ministry. There should be a clear indication. And finally, the point we'll spend the least amount of time on, the last point, will be, then you should also have his manifold promises in your life. So you need him as Messiah and minister. You need to understand he's giving you a ministry, and you need to live in the manifold blessings of God. I want to begin at I'm going to kind of go back and forth between Luke 4 and Isaiah 61. Luke 4 says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the prophet Isaiah writing to people, Jewish people, promised people, as they are dealing with the struggle of living again after captivity, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Let's just stop here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus. And Jesus said, once he finished reading that scripture in Luke, that today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He said, I am this anointed one with an anointing. I am this one that has been endowed with the Spirit. I had been identified at my baptism by my Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit, the scripture says, descended upon him like a dove and with lightning, gentleness and with power at the same time. And he says, I'm pleased with him. He was driven then with that same power into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights, coming out victorious over the devil because he used the word and finding himself walking through at least hundreds of towns and villages before he got back to his hometown just to get to the point of the scripture where he wants to make it clear. My ministry is clearly begun. I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. And the key indicator is the anointing of God, the Spirit of God that rushes on me. You know, whenever the Spirit of God has come upon a man, he's able to do supernatural things that he or she could not do previously. The anointing on a king allowed them to govern. The anointing on King Saul, the Bible says, when he was anointed by Samuel, that he got with the prophets and he began to prophesy. He began to do something he had previously been unable to do. When the anointing came on Saul, the Bible says he was turned into another man. When the anointing came on to David, the Spirit of the Lord came on to David, he was turned into another man. When the priest was the one that went on the people's behalf before God and offered sacrifice, the Spirit of the Lord, they would be anointed, and the Spirit of the Lord would be upon them. The Spirit of the Lord upon you allows you to do something significant. He is Messiah. He's able to take a broken life and fix it. Now, as Messiah and as the anointed one, as our minister, he could have used a plethora of tools to save us. He could have used angelic might and sent all the angels here to force you to live right. He could have used thunder, lightning. He could have used imprisonment. He could have used a lot of things, but he chose to use a message. Good news to the poor. Good news that you no longer had to be estranged from God, but you could be reconciled with him. He gave you the good news that he has come that you might have life and have it to the full. Now, the significance of this message is sometimes lost on us who have become so used to being in church and hearing significant things. But I believe that we have made the mistake of leaving the gospel message only at reconciliation with God and the impartation of eternal life. But as we get ready to go through this list, we're going to see that God has given you much more good news about life here on this planet than just the life that's to come through Jesus Christ. And one of the things I hope you see as we go through this scripture is that the millennials have it right. Somebody said, oh, he just left the church. he left. Wow. Okay. I just noticed that I believe a lie has been told about millennials. A lie sent by the devil, telling us what they're not instead of us seeing what they are. They are a product of the generation before them. And what, yes, Lord, he's preaching now. I've got some millennial amen. They are a product. But when you hear what they say and what they feel and what they think about, the emphasis of their life is not themselves. The emphasis of their life is other people. It's on community. It's on doing things right. It's on social justice. And when we think about Jesus, we begin to understand that was his disposition. This is his attitude. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is what he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison doors of those who are bound. Jesus is saying all of these things in the scripture, and they seem to be things consistent with justice, social justice, and equality. This is the very scripture in Luke 4 and Isaiah 61 that began to spark the civil rights movement when Dr. King and others got a revelation of the word, that the slaves had a revelation of the word, that God wasn't just causing them to have eternal life. He wanted them to have an authentic life experience while they were here on earth, that he didn't want them to be bound. He didn't want them to be a captive. He had to come and preach liberty, and then he had to open the door. See, God is not limiting salvation to the heavenly experience. God's salvation and power with the anointing is here on earth to do mighty things and to change lives right now. And this revelation came from the church. It did not come from the White House. It didn't come from an executive order, though. I'm sorry, I was just out there waiting on me. I had to grab it. I'm not talking about Trump, but I kind of am, but it's okay. It's not by power. It's not by might. It is by God's Spirit. Jesus being anointed with the Spirit of God could do the work of God. And that work was a powerful work of communicating a message that does not change the outward circumstances before it changes the heart. Your heart adjusts and begins to align with him. You say, he doesn't just want reconciliation with you and him. He wants you to reconcile with ethnicities and generations. Told you to be afraid of your kids, estranged from your kids. What message did he tell you to go tell him? You know, you just ain't nothing. Y'all ain't going to be nothing. Y'all don't know nothing, don't do nothing right. You're broke. Need something. Don't want nothing. Well, I don't think that's a good news message. They love Jesus. In fact, they love Jesus to the degree that they would give their whole life for the gospel. Sometimes we of another generation think about what we're willing to give something toward the gospel, just as long as not our whole life. Oh, y'all don't have to get quiet now. I'm not going to give my whole life. I'm not going to make my business. I don't want to say too much thing. I don't want to lose business. So my business platform is for me to make money and have a good life because God blessed me. That it's not for me to get the Messiah, get the revelation of who he is to other people. Every platform he's given you is for him. People are poor because you have nothing. You have nothing if you don't have God. You have nothing. But he's not just trying to get you something in heaven. He's trying to tell you, you get an earnestness of the Spirit, an endowment of the Spirit. You get a down payment of the Spirit. You get to experience a part of heaven on earth, and you get to access part of your inheritance here on earth. You get to move with power and with authority and with clarity on earth. You get to power to eradicate wicked and evil on earth. And the only thing that prevents you and me from getting evil things out is the inability to go preach with an anointing, the thus saith the Lord, that he's come for you to have a life and that to the full. This is Messiah's job. This is his work. This is Christ, the anointed. So therefore, if Christ does this work through the Spirit of God in me, and the 12 men he discipled turned the world upside down, then what type of results can I get if I'm a Christian, an anointed one, with an anointing? What kind of results can I get if the Spirit of God is on me? Perhaps our generation, I'm excluding millennials for a moment, have been more ineffective than we believe when the church only grows by 3% in evangelism, and yet there is an army, the biggest generation in human history in America, for instance, but we got an army of people that don't have the resources to fulfill the heart of God. Because they've tapped into the heart of God, and we've tapped into the comfort of God, and the two aren't reconciled. It makes me mad at myself. It makes me say, what are young people? You need to preach to me. Because if you realize that there is a treasure in them and their earthen vessel, then you need their voice to be fully who you need to be. They need your voice to be fully who you're supposed to be. And that's reconciliation. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach. God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save. It's foolishness to go and just preach at somebody and they give their life up. But when you preach with an anointing, with a supernatural grace and a supernatural power and the precision to get into somebody's heart, let me tell you where you're at. Let me tell you what God's trying to do. When you speak with authority, when you stir up the gift of God within you, when you act like you have an unction from the Holy One, the Bible says in 1 John, you have an anointing. You have an unction. You have a grace. You have a burden removing, yoke destroying, power of God. You can show up in the workplace and decide all of this is changing today. You can show up in your community with an anointing from the Messiah as a Christian, a Christ follower, and change the business culture. Who told you? When the business culture, man came to me one time and said, well, you know, in our business, you know, it's an athletic business. Every now and then we got to go to the strip clubs to, you know, do business and that stuff. And I'm not for it, but I'm just there. I said, well, you're just a different man from me. I can't be there. Because it's a poor representation of Christ and his standard. No, you tell them, oh, to get this deal with us, you need to come meet somewhere public with some decency. Told your boss keep asking you to fudge this and fudge that. Who told you you should do it? You have an anointing. That means you know the truth. You're led by the truth. And the same spirit that's in your generation is on the next generation. You have the same assignment, but not the same passion. But read verse 5 or 4. Read verse 4. Now, if you turn to just him, from him just being your Messiah, and you're happy you've been saved, and you realize what he's done, that believing in him changed the world, changes the culture, changes your community. Then you start talking real different. They, who? The people who got the gospel preached to them, the people who surrendered to the gospel, they shall build up the ancient ruins. These people were looking at coming out of captivity to walls that were broken down, cities that weren't right, and thinking, yeah, God set me free, but for what? You know, you can get saved and you can look at the world and say, it's so bad, I don't know why anybody would want to be here. Until you start understanding your purpose, that when you have an anointing, you don't look at the problems, you look at God's ability to build back what somebody else tore down. You're not in the world to just go eat and go to sleep and go to work and try to make it. You're here to make a difference. You're here to look at dead things and say, live. Broken things and say, lift up. Yeah, that's what you're here to do. And say, he said, build up the ruins and shall raise up the former devastation and shall repair the ruined cities. The devastation of many generations
strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as ministers of God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. Man, you know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like God's anointed people are not weak. They are powerful. They can undo bad policy. They can undo bad behavior. They can change the culture by changing the people who are leading the culture wrong. You know, the challenge of the civil rights movement, the challenge of the civil rights movement was not that we didn't get some change. We just didn't get the time that lasts. See, real change can't just be a change of a law or a change of a policy. It has to be a heart change. You can't have a law that tell you, you need to like them. Sit next to them. Y'all sit next to each other. It's going at it a certain way, which produces a certain result, which I'm grateful for, but it ultimately doesn't produce the greatest result. And when you are more concerned, there's nothing wrong with marching. Nothing. Because if I said something was wrong with marching, I would be saying it was something wrong with the freedoms that I have. There's nothing wrong with it. But if the marching and the protesting becomes the be-all to end-all instead of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're stuck at whatever your march can temporarily produce. You're stuck. You are a Christian. You are an anointed one. You have an anointing. You can rebuild anything that is torn down. If the school system is messed up, we don't complain about it. We speak to it. We speak to the mountain and say, be thou removed. Be thou cast in the sea. You speak to dead things and you call them to be alive. But you don't take any abuse from the enemy that he sets you free. He announces you're free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And when you know the truth makes you free. Free to live. Free to do. Free to build. Stop waiting to get, oh, when we get to the sweet by and by. Oh, I hear that language in me. I see wrong things in the world. So I can't wait till I get to heaven. I don't have to deal with foolish folk. People not crazy in heaven. If God wanted me in heaven now, if God wanted you in heaven now, he'd take you there. But this off spirit, this whispering to all of us that it's not good to be in the planet. It's not good to be on this earth. Even though God is good and God has given us grace and God has given us anointing and God has given us a purpose and God has given us a hope and God has given us a future and God has given us blessing, God has given us favor, God has given us all these abundance of promises. This is my third point I'm starting on. He's given us all these great and precious promises and tells us, don't forget them because they'll keep you focused. God does not want you to struggle as much as you can struggle. I saved you, but struggle. See, because even when you're in physical captivity, but free on the inside, you'll sing until the jail cell opened up. Because you no longer think this world or this world system has any power over you. You start believing I'm a foreigner and I'm an alien. I'm a citizen of another place in another dimension. Yeah, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm just taking advantage of time. That's why coming to church with a lost soul is not like a church initiative. It's a kingdom thing. Because you understand your purpose. You know the Messiah had an anointing to preach the gospel, to set the captives free, to bring liberty, to bind up the brokenhearted. Brokenheartedness is rampant. But the only way to really get a broken heart fixed is not longing for your boyfriend or girlfriend who probably broke up with you because it's a week before Valentine's.
you know what you do. You have to get a gift. Then they're gonna, the reconciliation is coming the week after, I'm telling you. He binds up the brokenhearted. Let me say this final point, and I'm going to let you go. Look at the final two verses here. Lord Jesus. He said, verse 7, instead of your shame, there should be a double portion. Everything double, double. Remember that? Here they go. Instead of dishonor, there shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. These are some broken people getting hope. They shall have everlasting joy. And not just see the everlasting joy in this context seem almost secondary to all the other stuff you get right now. For I, the Lord, love justice. You don't love justice more than God. You're not about social justice more than God. You didn't beat God in social justice. You like social justice. It's a good thing. But when we see, our social justice is limited to holidays and when we tired. Because everybody was protesting until the holiday came and the protest stopped. When you real upset, you're going to protest all the way out. God loves justice. He said, I hate robbery and wrong. This is the best news you can get. You don't hate sin more than God. He hates it. And if he hates it, then he can execute vengeance and judgment. He said, I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations. You as Christians. Christians known everywhere. We're not known. See, I think that we get it confused sometimes. I believe it's Christianity that the world is responding to and not your Americanness and my Americanness. The qualities that people around the world are enjoying about our nation have to do with our Christian values. And when we, the church, confuse them by lying on Jesus, that he accepts things that he doesn't accept, or he's about a certain group being segregated from another group, then we misrepresent him and we don't have a name among the nations. But when we walk in the anointing that he walked in, there's reconciliation and promises and covenants with him and harmony with you and the nations. You celebrate it. You think right now Christianity is being tolerated and it's being, people, oh, you're a Christian, you think like this. That's because we're not living up to what Christianity should look like. When you look like you're supposed to look with an anointing, you're attractive. How are you wearing your Christianity that's causing people not to like it? And their descendants in the midst of the people, all who see them acknowledge them, that they are the offspring the Lord has blessed. Why are they acknowledging you? You're the offspring. Is it because you got a shirt that says Christian? No. It's because you have an anointing. You have an unction. You have a power. You have a supernatural ability that goes along with the words. You pray something and God backs you up. You say something and it's true. You walk in reconciliation and they say that's a miracle. Why do I love our church? Because it should be a walking representation of what God's purpose was. Part of the need for a civil rights movement was the segregation, the isolation that didn't represent what Christ was representing in Luke 4 and in Isaiah 61. The church was the birthplace of change, and it was also the place that keeps us enslaved to a broken mentality. If you reach out only to people who look like you, you're wrong. You're wrong. And you're not showing that there's an anointing on you from Jesus Christ to cross over a color line, a race line,
cross the line. All of your friends can't be the same color. You'll be walking off. What if the church stood up and when a bad law was passed, would say, don't worry about it. Reconciliation is here. Don't worry about it. Your law doesn't have to change. We change it with prayer, because my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. We don't believe in prayer. We believe in answered prayer, powerful prayer, effectual prayer of a righteous man makes much power available. The Holy Spirit has anointed me. He's anointed you. He anointed Jesus. We can get people saved, healed, delivered, set free, a community changed, and Christianity will have a good name. People will want to be here. Stand to your feet. That's all I got. Ministry team, come on down. In a few weeks, when we go to the other side, we're leaving past failures and successes behind. And I'm asking for a fresh anointing to be on us. The anointing that doesn't have us going for what we perceive to be an easy win. A Christian person you know that go to another church already and you just think it'd be good for them to have a church experience with you. Let the people who already know Christ, let them be with Christ where they're at with their pastor. Your assignment is not to go get some believers from another church and say, my church is greater. It's not what we do. We got a new church. You want to come see our church? That's wrong. We don't really need them kind of visitors right now. That's in our way from the seats for the people we pray for. Who are you supposed to reach? Who do you think it was all for? It's for your boss. They're dead in trespasses and sins. It's for your neighbor. It's for your grandma and your son and your aunt and the person who works in your neighborhood. It's for your community. You're going to see in this next month how much influence we have throughout our city. And when I talk to a city leader, I don't ask them, can you help possibly change the policy? Because as I tell every governor, I'm here to serve you as you serve Christ. But when you go your own way, you'll never prosper. That's what I look in their face and say. And I say it and they thank me. Walk in the anointing. If you have any prayer needs whatsoever, when this service is over, come down. We'll pray with you. We'll stand with you. We thank God for you. If you need salvation, it's here. If you need healing, it's here. Deliverance is here. If you just need a friendship with somebody, it's here. This is your altar call. And at the conclusion of my prayer, you need to come. Lord, bless the people as we leave this place without your presence. Keep us in the center of your will and the apple of your eye, and we'll give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.